Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. This week we are going to cover several things here in our program. I've got to talk about this weekend and a couple things that happened, pretty sad actually, and that is yesterday prior to the beginning of the Toyota Indy 300 race in Homestead, Florida, race car driver Paul Dana, he was driving the number 17 ethanol car, was in a pre-race warm-up accident, and he died shortly thereafter from the injuries that he suffered. And the reason I'm bringing it up here is besides the fact that that is the team that is sponsored in part by the Ethanol Promotion and Information Council, they are a sponsor of ours, most particularly on our domestic fuel website, which you can find at www.domesticfuel.com. And what I want to do is just play you an interview that I did with Paul Dana on Saturday afternoon. As I understand it from people who are close to him and with him there this past weekend, it was the last media interview that he did. And I want to do it in honor of Paul because Paul is a man that I've met and interviewed several times over the last year. You could not find a bigger champion of the ethanol business and the ethanol industry. He was a young man. I think he had just turned 30. So this, in many ways, is a real tragedy. And our hearts go out to his family and his teammates and the people who have supported him so much in the last couple of years, including people in the ethanol industry. So this interview was conducted by phone. I was not in Homestead, but was able to get him on the phone, along with a couple of other individuals like Tom Salenica, who's the executive director with the Ethanol Promotion and Information Council. But I'm just going to play Paul's interview. It's just a short one, but it shows you the enthusiasm I think he has not only for the ethanol business, but for racing and being able to get back into racing after he suffered a pretty serious injury last year that shortened his season and made him still a rookie, I guess, this year. So before we go further, I'm just going to go ahead and play that interview that I did with Paul coming up now.
I'm speaking with Paul Dana, who is one of the drivers for Ray Hall Letterman Racing, and this is just before the opening race of the season in South Florida. Paul, could you just tell me how important today is, qualifying day, in advance of the first race of the season?
It's really important, or not at all, depending on how you look at it. For myself and the ethanol sponsors on the program, being with the new race team and eager to start the season off on a good foot, it's awesome to be qualified in the top 10 in such a competitive field, and it's great for my confidence. I'm going for Rookie of the Year this year, and it's a real strong starting spot. But payday is tomorrow, and qualifying really doesn't matter in terms of where you end up after 200 miles or 200 laps of hard racing. So it's good short-term boost, and everyone's real pleased, but we're not done yet. We've got to put our heads down and get a good race car together setup-wise for us and make sure we finish strong tomorrow.
Well, we certainly congratulate you on your qualifying position today. I know that's a huge accomplishment. I also heard that there was some good news in terms of the fact that since ethanol isn't a blend in the fuel this year, you had a record set today. Anything you could tell us about that?
Yeah, I believe the pull time is a track record. We're real pleased to see that the ethanol-enhanced fuel that the IndyCar Series is using this year has certainly not led to any performance drop. This series is relentlessly competitive, and the cars are always going quicker year after year after year, so it's pretty normal to see a track record, but we're certainly happy that ethanol could be a part of it.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and can you tell us what it means for the people who produce the grain that gets turned into ethanol, for the plants that manufacture this, as we get this first race of the season kicked off with the relationship between certainly Epic and the ethanol industry with the Indy Racing League?
Well, it's all real positive, and we feel very proud to be at the focal point of a really neat partnership between the IndyCar Series and the entire ethanol industry with all those parties to the industry, as you just mentioned. We're very proud. We hope they're very proud that their product is now powering the fastest race cars in the world and the fastest racing series in the world with the top drivers going over 220 miles an hour. So it's a huge statement of quality, high-tech performance, in a world-class environment for the ethanol industry to have these cars run on the product. That's the fireworks going off in the background for the start of a support race that's happening, so apologize for the noise. it's awesome for the farmers and the technical partners that work with the ethanol plants to produce the ethanol to be able to point to these high-tech race cars and say our product powers this.
Can you describe how it feels to be back in the ethanol car seat here with the new season?
Oh, it's awesome. As you may know, we started last year, and I was injured in a practice accident qualifying for the Indy 500 and broke my back in two places. So I sat out my rookie year, essentially, and watched from the sidelines in a back brace just trying to get healthy. And I had a pretty devastating injury, and it was a long recovery process last year. And so for me to be back on my feet and healthy and stronger than I've ever been and able to be with an awesome race team like Ray Hall Letterman Racing and qualified in the top 10. It's a whole new world, a bright new day, and I can't wait for the season to start tomorrow.
Well, we're certainly glad to hear about your recovery and see you back in action. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.
That was Paul Dana, driver of the number 17 ethanol car, who died from injuries that he received yesterday prior to the start of the Toyota Indy 300 race in Homestead, Florida. One of the subjects that we covered quite a bit over the last week was examples of other people who are doing blogs in the ag world, as well as podcasting. And one of those is a man down in Texas by the name of Blair Fannin, who I have talked to on the phone, but haven't actually had a chance to meet Blair yet. But he did do a presentation just recently at the Southern Association of Agricultural Scientists annual meeting, and he titled that Podcasting Agricultural News. Obviously something that I would want to look at right away. Well, you can find on our website, if you go back to that post, just do a search for Blair Fannin, for example, and you'll find a link to the PDF file of his report that he gave there. He has some very interesting information in there, which includes some documentation of how many people who, for example, who have downloaded the programs that he does. And I think that more than anything else, he summed up the experience that they've had using podcasting this way. And I'm just going to quote him, and that is, podcasting bypasses traditional media. Instead of Texas A&M Ag Communications having to pitch audio news to radio outlets, we send the information directly to our audience via an RSS podcast feed with audio through the internet. Podcasting opens a new door to target general consumers and agricultural producers with audio news content. Further, this may penetrate younger audiences who are more inclined to use portable MP3 player devices. Couldn't have said it better, Blair. Exactly what our experience is, what our belief is. This is a new tool to help reach out not only to producers, but to the general public as well. And that is something that agriculture certainly needs to do. Another interesting bit of documentation that came out is the Pew Internet and American Life Project actually issued a memorandum, and you can read this memorandum, the whole PDF, they've got it on their website, and there's a link. If you just go back and search for rural broadband on AgWired, you'll find the post with this in it. But in that report, it says that rural areas show fast growth in home broadband uptake in the past 2 years, and the gap between rural and non-rural America in home broadband adoption, although still substantial, is narrowing. By the end of 2005, 24% of rural Americans had high-speed internet connections at home, compared with 39% of adult Americans living elsewhere. That is still obviously a 15% gap, but they go on in the report to predict that that gap will virtually be non-existent in the very near future. I think this just means that new media communication options to reach rural and especially farmer Americans is only going to continue to grow in importance. So those were some of the news items that I think were of particular note over the last week on AgWired. I would like to direct your attention to our domestic fuel website. That's a website that is primarily intended to provide consumers with interesting and useful information regarding our primary domestic fuel alternatives, and that's ethanol and biodiesel at this point. One of the things we unveiled just this weekend is a new design for the website. So I'd encourage you to go there and look at it. Let me know what you think. One of the main changes was making it into a 3-column blog instead of 2. This does narrow the content area for the primary posts that we do, but it also gives us a sidebar option to put more information above the fold. And this includes being able to treat and handle advertising and promotional opportunities that we would have with the website. Looking quickly at our other website, which is World Dairy Diary, you can find these through links on AgWired. World Dairy Diary continues to grow, just like all of our websites, actually, in monthly traffic, and I think it's because of the information. We're posting regularly, we're posting frequently, and it's good news and information from a perspective that's different than you're going to find on basically your what I would call your traditional media outlets. For example, during the last week on World Dairy Diary, we had stories like the World Champion Cheese from the World Championship Cheese Contest hosted by the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. The World Champion Cheese is an Emmentaler, and that was entered by a contestant from Switzerland. Some other features that we're posting are regular updates from cooperatives working together about the export opportunities that they've been able to put together working with farmer cooperatives in the dairy business. We're inviting more and more people to actually submit their own content. And for example, the Professional Dairy Heifer Growers Association started writing to us with a daily update from a national conference that they were holding in California that we could not attend. So this is something we'd like to encourage you to do. If you look at your own meetings that are being held, feel free to just email us information. It doesn't have to be in the form of a news release. We don't need that. We'd actually prefer to get it in kind of conversational style with your perspective on what's going on in the business or at the meeting that you're attending. So that's a little wrap up of the ZimCom blog world with our three primary websites, AgWired, Domestic Fuel, and World Dairy Diary. Looking ahead to the next week, this is mostly going to be a stay-at-home catch-up week for me. So if you've got ideas for events that you would like to see covered on one of our websites, or you need some advice about how you go about doing this new media thing, please give me a call here at ZimCom New Media, and we'd be happy to talk to you about it. We are making plans right now for travel over the next couple of months, and some of those places include the NAFB Washington Watch program, the Bio 2006 conference, which will take place up in Chicago, and it looks like we will be attending the Clean Cities Congress in Phoenix. So you can look forward to seeing us blog about some of those events on our websites. And that's the ZimCast for this week. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.
You've been listening to the ZimCast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.